Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 110 of the Weekly Cooldown. I got the number right this time. I double checked. I kept getting it wrong in previous episodes, but I got it right this time. I keep forgetting what episode I'm on. It is episode 110. It is October 30th. Happy, happy Halloween. I know it's probably a difficult one for many of you because you can't go out and get candy and you can't go out and party, but, you know, we'll get through it together. I'm sure we will all get through it together. That being said, let's get to the headlines. We have some headlines this week, and then we'll get straight to our guest. So, to begin, CD Projekt Red has announced yet another Cyberpunk 2077 delay. The delay pushes the game into December 2020. The delays are largely attributed to testing the game on current and next-gen consoles, PC, and Stadia, all while working from home. In particular, however, CD Projekt Red co-CEO Adam Kaczynski said that the current generation of consoles still need some final optimization processes, that's PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, adding that the game is complex and massive to illustrate that point. The game is, however, ready for PC and next-gen consoles all the same. CD Projekt Red estimates that their new release date is 3 weeks from their last release date, making it December 10th, barring any further issues. The studio director behind Halo Infinite, Chris Lee, has left the project. Lee will still be a Microsoft employee and will continue to work with 343 Industries, but has apparently decided to step back from the project for the time being. The project and 343 Industries seems to have been under a lot of recent departures, including the former creative director Tim Longo and executive producer Mary Olson, both leaving in 2019. While it is unclear whether these departures will influence or have influenced Halo Infinite, the game did see a lukewarm reception during its reveal in July's Xbox showcase and has been delayed to 2021 almost immediately following the showcase. A new Resident Evil Netflix series will apparently be part of the official canon of Resident Evil. According to NX on Netflix, the Twitter account, Resident Evil Infinite Darkness is an original series set in the actual canon of the Resident Evil games. This is great news for fans, but also many point out that the Resident Evil canon is tricky to navigate at best and utterly a mess at worst. Despite that, there is no word yet on whether, what or where or how this series will fit into the canon, but we do so far know that Claire and Leon are likely the main characters, and that the series will be released on 2021. The head of Xbox, Phil Spencer, has confirmed that all first-party Xbox games for the Xbox Series X will be coming to PC as well. In a recent interview with Games Reactor, Spencer said that there is an expectation from customers regarding games coming to PC. He admitted that most people expect it to happen even if there's some timing involved, but also said, quote, but if we are shipping a first-party game, it's coming to PC. Spencer says that Xbox is committed to PC and thinks that the standing of Xbox first-party games on Steam and Games Pass are an indicator of just that. And finally, a new Apex Legends trailer for Season 7 showed off some new backstory elements for the latest legend coming to the game. Her name is Horizon, but according to her backstory, it is also Dr. Mary Summers. Though details on her abilities are scarce, Horizon may have powers either related to time and space and or gravity manipulation. As part of her backstory, details her being an astrophysicist set adrift in space for 87 years and wishing to return to her own time. Season 7, in addition to introducing Horizon, will also introduce a brand new map titled Olympus. Olympus is an airborne city that seems to have tons of vertical leap. Likewise, an airship called the Trident will be available to get around Olympus, though it is unclear how exactly this will work in practice. Apex Legends Season 7 drops on November 4th. And those are just some of the headlines for this week. If you want to chat about any more headlines, or you've got something else you want to talk about, you can always tweet at me at CommieJaceGaming, or tweet at the Weekly Cooldown at WKCooldown, or join the Discord, and we'll chat. We'll chat so much. You guys don't even know. You don't even know how much we're going to chat. And you know what? We're gonna do some more of that chatting right now with my wonderful guest, who I am going to allow to, or not allow, but give them the great pleasure of introducing themselves to you. So please take it away.
Hello. I am Chromias, host of the Link is Cute podcast. You can call me Crow for short. Everyone does. Link is Cute is a primarily Nintendo-focused podcast, though, of course, with a Zelda theme. Though we talk about anything that comes up within the week, and we recount games we've played that week. Yeah, and that's me. I am also on Twitter and YouTube.
Excellent, excellent. As Chromias?
Yes. Chromias.
Excellent. Perfect, 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 perfect. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being on.
it is no problem. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Now, as we always do on this show, we have to ask the singular most important question. What have you been playing this week?
A lot of things. Most advently Warframe. With the new Nate's a Prime release, I've been farming relics so I could get Nate's a Prime. I'm halfway there, and I'm continuing my quest to get Ember Prime and Frost Prime. I'm just manufacturing Ember Prime right now and working on getting Frost Prime later. I'm also doing the Halloween event, Knights of Nabarus. And what else I've been playing this week? I've returned to Middle-earth Shadow of Mordor because it's fun. I've been trying out Genshin Impact, and I can feel the cobwebs setting into my brain already.
Really?
Yes. And I started and beat Batman Arkham City, which I do every October.
Now, are you just not loving Genshin Impact as much, or are you loving it?
Oh, no, I love it.
Okay.
By cobwebs setting into my brain, I mean it's sticky and they won't go away.
Got it. Yes. I think the game has garnered almost too much attention. And I think the genius in Genshin Impact is exactly what it is. It's just this kind of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild type gacha game. And part of me wants to hate it, but I can't, because it's not like a simple gacha game. It's like a complete story, fleshed out, good voice acting for the most part.
Paimon.
A little bit. She's doing her best, though. I love her. But it's also, at its core, I mean, at its very core, is still a gacha game, but it's...
Yep.
The word gacha in this case is almost like a double entendre, because it's like the meaning that most people know for gacha games is that you plug in money and outcomes, prizes, but the prizes are kind of random and so on and so forth. But also it's like gacha, like I got you to play this game. So like, joke's on you, guy. You're playing a gacha game.
Unlike most gacha games, which give you, like, reward you with, like, JPEGs on a screen that you usually use to fight other JPEGs, in Genshin Impact, you are rewarded with gameplay utility, because Genshin Impact, while being an open-world Breath of the Wild-style game, is also a character action game, kind of like, Devil May Cry, or, Nier Automata, and it operates like those. So the characters serve a purpose in game other than just looking good. So they do look very, very good.
Very, so very cute anime style. I like it.
Yeah. The feel-good feeling of pulling something off, or pulling a good drop in Genshin Impact is increased exponentially because those things are actually useful.
Right. That is very true.
And as you said earlier, it's good because at its heart, it's a full game, a complete game. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's a good one.
It is. For what it's worth, it is actually a very good, very well thought out game. And I'm interested to see where it goes from here.
It has the problem because it very much is infected with mobile game design philosophy. It has the problem at the beginning where it over-explains everything. So you're not confused about any of the game systems. Mm-hmm. And it makes sure that you're not confused. And the explainery can get kind of tedious, especially through the Knights of Mondstadt quest.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I think it's... I'd give it an 8 out of 10. I'd probably give it a higher score if it weren't a gacha game.
Yes. Thank you for saying so. Because I, too, give it roughly an 8 out of 10. 2 points minus for trying to make me spend money. So we're going to ask you a question. As of the 3-year anniversary episode, which was last week, we are now taking questions about anything. Anything game-related, for the most part, that you want to hear us answer here on the show. And so, coming from good friend of the show, Kira, at Hexacographer on Twitter, Kira says, which character would you avoid sharing a drink or snack with?
Is this specific to video games?
If you want to make it a little more broad, like with some other media type, that's fine. I'll allow right. it.
Recently I have been playing Batman Arkham City, and the only character I can think of is the Joker or the Penguin.
Oh, okay. Okay, hold on. Make it super specific. Why would you not have a drink or a snack specifically, in my mind, with the Penguin?
Oh, because Penguin is a gentleman. So he would sit down and eat dinner with me and it'd be amicable and nice, but it would be fish. Whole fish. And if I didn't eat the fish, he would kill me.
Yes. Or just kneecap you at the most.
And he'd laugh about it.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah. Okay. So no fish. No, well... Here's a question. Is it cooked fish? Probably not.
In the Arkham universe, there's a spinoff movie, Assault on Arkham, and we see the Penguin's diet, and he just eats whole cod, uncooked.
Oh. I don't think so. No, thank you. And why are we not eating and or drinking with the Joker? I can guess why, but please still tell me.
Laughing gas.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Yeah. That's about where I was gonna go. Sure. No to that. I'm actually gonna answer this one myself, and I'm going to go with Xenos from Final Fantasy XIV. Why? Because he probably would invite you for food and drink, but then he'd be like, all right, now we're fighting. And I don't really feel like doing that before or after eating, so I'm good. I'm good. Kira, thank you so much for that question. I hope we have answered it succinctly for you. And send in more questions. We want to know, like, what you guys are thinking of when you're playing video games. Also, let us know who you would not have a drink with or a food with, because, you know, there's just some characters out there that just don't deserve our love and our time and energy, and that's just the truth. All right, well, let's talk about a little bit more about Link is Cute. So, where did the idea for this podcast come from?
So I know you're aware of the Maelstrom Radio podcast.
Yes, I am.
I had been wanting to start a podcast for a while. I had started a podcast before that we got one episode in, then my co-host quit. And I can't talk to myself for half an hour. So I was getting into a discussion with Quinn of the Maelstrom Radio podcast. And he said that I should go for it to go ahead and start a podcast. And one of the moderators on the Linkist Cube Discord server, Autumnal Blake, to plug his stuff at Autumnal Blake on Twitter. Very nice. He said that he would try to co-host for the show. And he did for a brief period of time. He is not extroverted like myself, so he had a brief stint as co-host. But we've got a new one coming in for the next show next Friday. And she's wonderful. And that is what got me into Link is Cute.
Excellent.
Or the Link is Cute podcast, I should say. Very the Discord good. Server predates the podcast.
Ah, one of those podcasts. No, I'm kidding. That's very cool. Very cool. And so you said it's not just Link specific, but is it? Did it start kind of Link specific with the Discord channel?
No, not at first. Because there was nothing to talk about Link specific at the time. Breath of the Wild 2 had been announced with no news. We decided that we would cover general Nintendo news and talk about video games. The episode length only goes for half an hour, so we mostly just talk about video games and what's going on in our lives. But occasionally we get into other stuff. We've had discussions about JRPGs, the average length of video games should be, things like that, gaming news in general, movies.
Very good. Very good. Well, how old is the podcast now?
About 2 months.
Welcome to the family. Very cool, very cool. Very, very, very cool. Well, be sure to check out the Link is Cute podcast. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more show.
Greetings, interstellar travelers from Point Zero Star, a sci-fi RPG adventure with five Canadians as your hosts. Follow the crew of the Mary Shelley, Vinyl Flyway.
I would just hate it if we walked in there, you know, with like a gun, and then she shot us with our own gun.
Kaze.
You'll have to excuse me, Coachella, but I'm going to have to cut our lunch short.
Coachella's my sister.
Nyx Nedra.
And she looks up at Nyx, and she's studying you for a sec, just eyeing you up.
I flex.
And the daring captain, Rust Duckers.
And he's like, that's you, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, if you ever hear anybody talking about it, just remind them who you sold this thing to.
They're just trying to earn some thread and stay under the radar. But things haven't worked out that way so far. To follow the adventures of the Mary Shelley, search for decimal ZEROSTAR, however you receive podcast transmissions.
The name's Johnny.
Johnny.
Jonathan.
Johnny.
I have a demon. And his name is hard to pronounce, so I'll just call him Vet. I am not a very smart man.
You are so stupid.
But I didn't think things would get this bad.
A 3-alarm fire. Tragedy has struck our community. Blame the lie.
Man, oh man, was I wrong.
Stay tuned for Me, My Demon, and I.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. So, we've got one story this week. It's been kind of a slow week for, like, the really substance, you know, like, stubs. The word is hard for me to say. Substance. Can't do it. It's been a really hard week for the stories with more substance to them. Thank you, syllables for dragging that one out. So instead, we're going to take the kind of strange yet bad-ish story and roll with that one. This one deals with hacking in Among Us. So, hacking has come to Among Us, but not necessarily in a cheating way. The hack introduced to Among Us apparently advertised a streaming channel and also sent a political message. The hack seemed to only affect phones, from what we can tell, and would spam text chat messages, which advertised a streamer channel and threatened to damage your phone if you did not subscribe. The message also ended with Trump 2020. In an interview with the hacker, performed by Kotaku, the hacker told the reporters that he was curious to see what would happen and found it funny. He also said that the anger and hatred is the part that makes it funny. So, if you had any idea, or if you had any kind of thought in your head that was kind of along the lines of, now who would go and hack Among Us? He came right out and told you who he was. He said, here I am. I did it. I wanted to troll people. I wanted to upset people. And he just went into what is arguably one of the most popular games of this year and decided it was cool to do this. So that's cool, I guess.
So my thoughts on this initially are, like, a lot of these things with trolls who hack games and do this thing where they grandstand, like they're doing a public service with what they're doing, but right. At the core of it, nobody cares.
Yeah, that kind of is it, isn't it?
I struggle to care about his intent, what he did, or the fact that he finds people getting mad amusing. I've yet to see any evidence of people getting mad about this. I think for the most part, nobody cares.
It is kind of strange to have someone deliberately go out of their way to do something like this in the hopes, I guess, as you say, that somebody cares, which I honestly guess for as like unknown as this hack seemed to be amongst most people, no one did care.
I'm going to trigger the libs by posting political propaganda in a children's game.
Right. Or in any game at all. Like, who's that concerned while playing a whodunit video game about your YouTube channel or your streaming channel, or B, your political beliefs? Like, at that point, we're just trying to play the game.
Yeah.
So, come on, dude. Get with it.
The most compelling argument for any political candidate is having their obnoxious followers post dumb shit in a video game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I truly do feel that I must vote for Trump now. You're right. You're absolutely right. The hacker is named Eris Loris. He did, he put his name right out there onto the messages that you would get on, Among Us when hacked. He confirmed with Kotaku that he is a Trump supporter, and explained the political element just by saying, yes, I'm a Trump supporter. So it seems like this was done as a means of, like, trolly political outreach of some kind, which is funny because last week we had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar streaming this exact game for almost 450,000 viewers.
The third largest live stream in Twitch's history.
Absolutely. And not only that, but I mean, on one hand, it's a trolling hacker telling people Trump 2020. And on the other hand, although they are completely left-wing people, obviously, all they said at the end of their stream, no less, was, hey, why don't you vote? And they didn't say who you should vote for. They didn't say anything like that. It was just, give it a try.
I was I was going to say specifically that this hacker did so with the aim of making people upset. And the congresswoman streaming the game was for the explicit goal of voter outreach and nothing else. Right. I watched the beginning and the end of that stream. Sadly, my internet was not good enough to catch the middle. It was pretty fun, yeah.
It was very fun. I loved it.
Watching a British man assassinate two U.S. congresswomen has never been so entertaining.
The nuance.
But yeah, they didn't talk about anything politically in depth. They mostly just played the game and told people to go vote.
Amazing how that works. Amazing how you can actually kind of promote your stream or your channel and also get the vote out, right? Get people out there to vote, even if it's not for your candidate. Oh, come on, Eris Loris, you rhyme-named troll. Come on, let's be a little bit more civil.
I never believe so. It's not even a hack. It's a script kiddie thing. He just made a bunch of botted characters to flood game lobbies, and then they do nothing in-game and spam, and then either get booted or die.
Actually, I believe that someone posted that they were one of only a few other people in a game, and most of the bots were these kind of, you know, these ones that are spamming the messages. And that's it. And then at the end of the game, there were no imposters because everyone ended up leaving, including the bots. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
And by interesting, I mean lame. No. So with that being said, I know that's a really short main story. What I do want to talk about a little bit is actually voting. Because, you know, if people want to try and use their video game or their video game platform for voting, then I will do it too. I think that if nothing else, this is the most important year to vote. And on top of that, I think that if you are doing it this year, you should make it a point to do it for every year that you ever have to do it. If you have local elections, get out and vote. If it's 2024 and we're up for another president and someone decides that they're going to vote, they're going to run again or something worse happens, you have to get out there and vote. We can't just kind of sideline this like anymore. We have to use our rights responsibly.
Yeah, I agree. Just making sure you're represented in government is super important. Making sure that a particular, because of the way checks and balances work, it requires there to be a balance of the two parties. And the way it currently is, with one party dominating two of the three branches of government, now three of the three branches of government, voting is super important because some people are not being represented. And if you want to be represented, voting now and voting often is important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Be aware of how you might be being suppressed in your state, because that happens apparently. Mm-hmm. I recently voted just yesterday, actually. Luckily for me, it wasn't too much of a hassle. I walked in. I actually have this very cool thing that my county does where they send you this nice card with a barcode on it. The lady sitting down scanned my barcode, and I was in and out in like 5 minutes. If that is not your experience, I'm terribly sorry, but you are the unfortunate victim of voter suppression, and you have to work to try and stomp that shit out, like, hard. Work with local activists, work with your politicians to help reform your local government, and also you do some most of that by voting.
All good points.
please add anything you want. Let's,
all right.
Let's make people listen.
Yeah. In my state, Georgia specifically, they have this set of laws called Use It or Lose It. If you're in Georgia right now, and if you have not voted in the past 7 months, you're most likely, if you don't vote Republican, your absentee ballot privileges and your early voting privileges have been restricted. And the only avenue you have to vote is being present on election day. And doing that is important in case anyone listening now is from Georgia.
Excellent. Excellent things to know, I should say.
Yeah.
God, it sucks.
It does. It does.
Well, I think I could go on and on about why you should vote, but I think you know by now. So, as I remember, early voting has already started in many U.S. states, so please get out there and vote if you can. Likewise, remember that election day is November 3rd. Request off if you have to. Generally, it is a rule in most states or a law that you can get some time off to go vote. If you think you need it, please do it. If you won't do it for yourself, do it for me. Black gay man on the podcast here. Do it. Thank you.
Bless.
All right, we are going to wrap it up. It's going to be a short episode, but that's okay. You don't come here for the length. You come here for the conversation. And don't tell me otherwise, or else I'll be sad. So, to wrap it up, we always ask our guests to give a recommendation. What game or games should they be on the lookout for or playing right now?
Right now, I would definitely say get into Warframe. Because it's a... an action MMO developed by one studio of 200 people who currently have their staff split between two games. It goes through regular content droughts. Currently, it's at a content peak. A new open world just came out. A lot of primes are coming out. Nightwave is just finishing up. And I personally believe that the newest Nightwave was really good. And if you can, at the moment, play Warframe. It's great. Feel like I don't have to say this. The Arkham games, critically acclaimed for a good reason. They're really good. I replay them every year. If you can, please play them. They're so good.
Do you replay them in October as like a Halloween thing?
Well, Arkham City, I believe it came out. No, I got it for my birthday. October 17th, the year it came out. And just as a tradition, I play it once a year, typically at October 17th, Asylum and City. I don't include Knight because I don't like Arkham Knight. Or I do like it, but it's not a game I like enough to replay every year. Though I do play Arkham Origins every Christmas because it is a Christmassy game.
It is. It's maybe that's something we should talk about. I guess I never thought of it, but you're absolutely right. It's very much a Christmassy game. We love that game.
It's super underrated.
I think so too. Yes. I'm going to go ahead and say that the game you should play is Final Fantasy XIV. I've just been on it too much lately. And so I think you should play it too. There's been a latest patch that has dropped. It is a lot of fun. There's pretty good content in there. The next patch will drop in December. So if you get on it now, you should be level 80 if you haven't played before by the time the next patch drops and you'll be all caught up. We expect the next X-Pack to be released sometime next year. So, I mean, there's a lot to look forward to with 14, and you should give it a go. If I'm not mistaken, the free trial right now goes up to, the first expansion, which is
Heavensward. Yep.
Yes. So yeah, give it a go. Give it a go.
Final Fantasy 14 also gets my endorsement. I love Final Fantasy. It's one of my favorite, like, gaming series ever, and 14 is absolutely stellar. I would recommend it to anyone. You can with the current free trial, you can play the game for a very long time, and you can play about a third of the not in-game content, end-game content.
Very good. Very good. And finally, to wrap up this show, please tell us where we can find you on the internet, should you want to be found, and if you have anything else to plug.
All right. So, of course, I go by Chromias, C-R-O-A-M-I-A-S. I can be found on Twitter and YouTube. That's where I do most of my stuff. I also post art on Newgrounds. And I write game reviews on backloggery.gg.
Perfect. Perfect. Sounds wonderful. All right. As always, you can find me at KamiJace Gaming on Twitter. You can find the Weekly Cooldown on its own Twitter page as well, at WKCooldown. Be sure to visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Visit the Facebook page and make sure you leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Listen here. Mm-hmm. It's something I need. It doesn't necessarily pay the bills, but it you know that exposure thing that you guys like to give away so freely? It helps with that. So give me some exposure. Go leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Leave it on Podchaser as well. Podchaser is a really cool up-and-coming podcasting connection website. So anywhere you review it is fine. Just do it there. Or on Apple Podcasts. Thanks.
Alrighty.
Cool. Perfect. As always, check out the links below, including the Humble Bundle for this week, which I have not chosen yet, so it'll be a surprise to all of us. Our logo and art is by Corgian of Doghouse Esports. Follow him at Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. That's D-O-G-H-O-U-S-E. C-O-R-G-I-A-N on Twitter. Our intro music is done by Zach Breiter of Captive Portal. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
And I'm Chromias.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.